One of Us is Dead by Peter James. Read by Daniel Wayman. Chapter 1. Friday, the 23rd of September, 2022. The small village church was packed, and Taylor, who had arrived at the funeral late, just as the service was beginning, had to stand at the back, dripping wet from the pelting rain outside. But he wasn't looking at the coffin, nor at the cleric, the almost overbearingly pious Reverend Ian Parry-Jones, with his pristine cassock, zealot's eyes and mad white hair, who was giving a good impression of genuine sincerity, but a less convincing one, of having actually known the unfortunate star of the show. Instead, Taylor was staring at the back of the head of a man sitting six rows in front of him, transfixed. Even though he hadn't yet had a chance to see the man's face clearly, the man was wearing dark glasses, a scarf and a baseball cap, Taylor was certain it was Rufus Rourke, his old school friend. Except it couldn't be. It wasn't possible. The man inclined his head slightly to the left, as if resting it on his shoulder, the quirky way Rufus had always done when he was composing a reply to something someone had just said. And now, Taylor was even more sure. It was Rufus. It absolutely was. Except it could not be. Rufus Rourke had been dead for 2 years. Taylor had given the eulogy at his funeral. Chapter 2. Friday, the 23rd of September, 2022. What the fuck? Taylor could not take his eyes off the man as the service proceeded interminably. There were two cheesy poetry readings by, according to the service sheet, Barney's nieces, and another that Taylor liked about not being dead but just in the next room, which was read by a woman in a veil, Barney's ex-wife Debbie Martin. She'd kept her maiden name even when they were married, though several lines were drowned out by a baby screaming. These were followed by a tribute given by a dapper man of around 40, who, in a virtuoso performance of pure fiction, interrupted again by the baby, portrayed the deceased as pretty much just one miracle short of sainthood. The sun had come out, and its rays shone through the stained glass window behind the pulpit, creating a halo effect around the man's head. Maybe Barney would be canonized one day, Taylor thought wryly. He could be the patron saint of losers. Taylor had only come to the funeral out of a sense of duty. He'd not seen Barney for years, other than briefly at Rufus's funeral 2 years ago. But the three of them had been tight at school, Taylor, Rufus, and Barney. The Three Musketeers, they called themselves. And for a while after leaving, they'd continued meeting up for lunch or for an evening at a boozer close to one of them. They'd vowed they would always stay in touch. But of course, life had other plans. The more time passed, the more they'd gone their own very different ways. None of them had really had anything in common, beyond a shared dislike of their school, to bind them together. Rufus, the boisterous, loud-mouthed charmer, had bragged that he'd be a millionaire by the age of 30, and maybe he had been. Not that it had done him much good. He was dead at 39. Well, so it had seemed. And now poor Barney, the eternal dreamer of fame and fortune, who had changed addresses more times than Taylor could count, was about to move to his forever home, plot PY136, Woodvale Cemetery. But at least poor Barney was finally having his day in the sun, Taylor thought, the attention he had always craved. The coffin was far grander than its poor occupant had ever been, sitting centre stage on the catafalque, brass handles gleaming in the stained glass sunlight. It looked magnificent enough to house the Pope. Taylor wondered who had paid for it. Not that he really cared. He only cared about one thing in that moment. The identity of the man sitting six rows in front of him. Could it be Rufus? Of course not. And yet, he continued to stare, totally fixated,